Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the C. Robert Jones, PhD, Conservative Hour. I am Cool Mike. I see GGT is in the chat room. I think he'll be calling in shortly. Thank you very much. Special congratulations. Thank you very, very much to all of you. I'm not sure how many know. Earlier today, I had a conversation with an individual from Blog Talk Radio who basically said yesterday's show that GGT and I did on a whim. We just jumped right in. He said, based on some of the things we were talking about, the downloads were off the hook, was his exact quote. And I'm really, really happy. Things appear to be going in place. And he actually told me, he said, why don't you go to Google and Google the text citizen. I forgot what it is. I'm so frustrated with it. But anyway, I Googled it, and we were number two on the search with the C. Robert Jones political show that GGT and I did yesterday, which is really, really a great, it's just a great thing. These shows are about you guys, not about us with things going in place for as far as our show falling in place. Well, it's about us getting the message out, and it's really, really terrific. I can't thank you enough, John. I see you in there. Tamara, I see you, and then Wendy. Thank you very much for being here. And today's show is kind of it's almost going to be a laughable little show because it's going to be a tease. As ever, all of you are talking about Tesler's show for Sunday with abortion and capital punishment. This is kind of a tease going into GGT and I show tonight. It's going to be talking about I'm just going to tease you a little bit. Dr. Jones called me earlier today. He has had some problems in D.C. He is fine, but his phone broke, and he had to get a new phone, had to just get all that information transferred and everything. And he also was enjoying some time off, so he asked if we would fill in today, and I told him kind of what I wanted to do. And I think it's kind of good that we're going to be able to tonight talk about, well, I guess in a way, it's kind of like we're dropping breadcrumbs to lead you into the cave or lead you wherever the stage is, so to speak, and that will be tonight's show. I'm going to have to bring up the actual show and read the description because my switchboard is just all over the place, and it is. The switchboard is Blog Talk is having problems. I had actually talked to him about them, and he said they're doing a lot of upgrading. And, of course, they're Pacific time, so a lot of the shows do get affected Eastern Standard Time. Anyway, thank you again very, very much. I don't even know what to say. I mean, just to have, I use Google a lot as well as other search engines, but never imagined something like that would be happening. But anyway, let's see. It sure is hard to believe it was less than 24 hours ago, May 10th, that Cool Mike and GGT filled in for the Honorable Retired Marine Dr. C. Robert Jones while he was stuck in D.C. traffic. Will from Buffalo joined the show shortly after that, about 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. I posted a link there, too, right below that Will joined us Eastern Standard Time. I posted a link. It said, click on that and let the good things happen. As more and more and more listeners have found themselves concerned about the worldwide issues. The BTR, True Conservative Movement Alliance, presents part one of a two-part series titled Hitler/Obama, the Enabling Act. President Obama, our master and king, appears to be more concerned about a war at home against we the taxpayers than abroad on terror. While killing Osama bin Laden, it says, was the killing of Osama bin Laden a mercy killing within a democratic socialist movement, or was it a leader finally taking command of his country and charting a course for the new world order? Tonight, instead of looking back at yesterday, the off-the-chart downloads, we are charting our own course. We're going in-depth and in detail to show you just how President Obama, Congress, and the Senate are in legislation. Let me try this one more time. Tonight, instead of looking back at yesterday's off-the-chart show, we are charting our own course, going in-depth and in detail as to just how close President Obama, Congress, and the Senate are in legislation to Hitler's Enabling Act. The second part of this series is titled The Fourth Reich. That can be heard at 11:30 Eastern Standard Time tonight. That is on the GGT Conservative Hour, and you are all more than welcome to join us for that show. More and more, and this was actually GGT's idea, more and more it appears he had done some research, and I think it was on Alan West when I go on my rants on Alan West. But he had done some research, and he had commented how the Patriot Act does appear to be very, very close to Hitler's legislation as well. And I never really thought about it, so I looked it up, and here we are. I apologize. Let me give you the numbers for those who want to call, area code 347-884-8500, or toll free on Dr. Jones's dime. He's got like 400 and whatever minutes, so may as well use them. 877-666-9305. As we begin, well, Mary, hopefully you will stay awake because an awful lot rides on this country. But anyway, one of the scariest pieces of legislation I think I ever came across, scariest websites that I've ever came across, was this afternoon when I was actually doing research for the show. And there, it is amazing how much information there really is on just how what was going on with the Third Reich, and it was right in front of everyone's face. Sound familiar? And how almost nobody did anything but cheer them on with thunderous applause. Sound familiar? Many of the people, and actually the minority was the ones who actually took the rights away from the people, the minority, I should say. So, does that also sound familiar? The U.S. Patriot Act compared to Hitler's Enabling Act. We're going to paraphrase because, as I said, we're not going to be going the full hour, and we're going to, I just wanted this show tonight to be a tease leading into tonight's show. On March 23rd, 1933, the newly elected members of the German Parliament, the Reichstag, met in the Kroll Opera House in Berlin to consider passing Hitler's Enabling Act. It was officially called Law for Removing the Distress of the People and the Third Reich. For removing the distress of the people. Imagine that. Sound familiar? If passed, it would effectively mean the end of democracy in Germany and establish the legal dictatorship of Adolf Hitler. Well, needless to say, what we don't know is Adolf Hitler started this march probably well into the 20s. It took him quite a ways, I think like 15 or 17 years to actually move up the ranks. Germany was a democracy, and they continued to basically beat him down. He's almost, in a way, I would compare him probably to our president or maybe Pelosi or Harry Reid, as far as the government, the takeover desire of government. And the distress had been secretly caused by the Nazis themselves in order to create a crisis atmosphere. Sound familiar? That would make the law seem necessary to restore order. The distress had been secretly caused by the Nazis themselves in order to create a crisis atmosphere. That would make the law seem necessary in order to restore order. Sound familiar? On February 27, 1933, they had burned the Reichstag building. Now, the Reichstag building, you should look that up yourself, but that is equivalent to probably one of the most important buildings in Germany. Sound familiar? All right. German government causing panic and outrage over the fire. The Nazis successfully blamed the fire on the communists and claimed it marked the beginning of a widespread uprising. On the day of the vote, Nazi stormtroopers gathered in a show of force around the world, around the opera house, chanting, "Full powers or else. We want the bill, or fire and murder." They also stood inside the hallways and even lined the aisles where the votes were taking place, glaring mentally at anyone who might oppose Hitler's will. Just before the vote, Hitler made a speech to the Reichstag in which he pledged to use restraint. Sound familiar? You're either with us or you're with the terrorists. GGT, is that UIC on the phone?
It is. How you doing, Mike?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm giving them a little tease. We're only going to do the show for another 17 minutes, teasing them into ours.
Cool.
Well, let me tell you, you got me hooked. Most of the minute I got out of work, I got so wrapped up in this topic.
I did too the other night, and I was up to 4 o'clock in the morning. It was just...
How does it sound so far, what I'm reading? Sound familiar?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I was saying, some of the wording in that Article 48, you could actually... I mean, it's almost word for word with the Patriot Act, so...
So in today's day and age, it's almost like copy and paste?
Almost.
Yeah. Tonight's show, my friends, you cannot miss tonight's show. It is just going to be a great show. If you think Police State 5 was a great show, This is going to, tonight's show, he and I are just going to, we are really going to put on a great show. And I asked last night towards the end of our show if you would rescind the Patriot Act. Most people would, and some didn't. But as I'm reading the Hitler's Enabling Act, boy, does this sound familiar? And here, it says in here throughout time, we didn't know this until well after Hitler's death. It said, the distress of the fire had been secretly caused by the Nazis themselves in order to create a crisis atmosphere that would make the law seem necessary to restore order. How about that?
They blamed it on the communists. Yeah, they blamed it on the communists. I mean, it'll make you think. I mean, I don't want to get into 9/11 conspiracy theories, but it'll definitely get your brain going.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. That's why I think there's so much more to this, and if we have a lot of listeners, you know what I want to do is have them do the research on their own. Why?
Right.
I believe what we're saying. I mean, go into it. Go online. Research the information for yourself. Research the opposite, you know, the opposite opinions that you're hearing. And by all means, definitely start now and come into our show. And if you feel that, you know, there's a dispute or anything, you're going to love this part. Let me read you this. It said, after it said Hitler also promised restraint. Imagine that. The government will use these powers only insofar as to they're essential to carry out vital necessary measures. The number of cases in which an internal necessity exists for having recourse to such a law should limit itself to one, Hitler told. Boy, oh boy, this is. Yeah, I'm thinking somebody did a lot of homework before they went before Congress and said you're either with us or the terrorists. He also promised to end unemployment and pledged to promote peace with France. Well, he took care of that problem with France now, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
No problem at all. They had peace within a few days of that. So here's funny. Well, this goes into great detail. I only want to do this as a tease. I wanted to prepare kind of do my show. I'm on CC Cougar 11 for a half hour just to practice this, but I didn't. I was just too wrapped up in reading it. But tonight, when we get involved in it, there's so much more to this. And oh my
yeah,
God,
it's very interesting. Very, very interesting.
Yes. Well, not just that. Erica, hello, welcome. It's almost scary, unbelievable. It almost is as if really tonight when you hear me, you're almost going to think I am just a molded conspiracy robot. Whereas today they programmed me, and today was my big debut to spiel this. But I mean, this is factual information. This is factual information that comes not only from the Future of Freedom Foundation, which is used numerously on television shows, they're as guests and as commentators, but the information on the comparison to the Patriot Act and Hitler is from a Christian, a religious site, to which I think if we look clearly, there's something to be said about both of these, that in many ways, one religion kind of stands out in both, whether it's the Patriot Act or and the Enabling Act. Hitler had his own faith, and of course the Muslim faith in the Patriot Act is almost taboo, hands off. That's why in the TSA lines, you know, they'll give the little boys a little hand job and they'll play with the little girls' butts or feel up the chicks. But when Muhammad walks by, he certainly gets a pass. Or when grandma in her wheelchair gets shaken down, and if she gives them any lift, they give the old lady a trimming. In the meantime, here comes the shake, and you get the pass. Wow. This is absolutely unbelievably amazing. Here is a couple other clips that I want to tease everyone with. The government will make use... Oh, wait a minute. I already read that. He says... he also promised...
You're trying not to give too much away.
No, we're not. There's... Oh, my God. So we could do a 10-hour show tonight. In order for Hitler to get his agenda, GGT, he needed this passed. He couldn't do anything unless this was passed. So prior to all of this, he had tried to get it passed because he was like a congressman or a senator. I'm not sure. He was involved in the parliament. And he never
could.
It was voted down constantly by the democracy, like by 70%.
Right.
So first, they needed an emergency, a panic, a fire. Then they needed everybody nervous.
Right. An escape.
Oh, boy. What's that?
And then escape gives somebody to blame it on.
No, I'm just waiting because I know in the back of your mind you're thinking two things. Number one is don't give too much away, and number two, you're thinking, you know what? Damn, he might be right about some of that stuff. I might have thought Mike was a little overboard crazy on. Well, you know what, Jermaine?
Somebody threw this at me.
What's that?
The other night I stayed up. I didn't even realize what time it was. It was 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was looking at this stuff, and I was like, wow. Mike's not crazy.
Yeah. Well, there's an old saying, and I'll tell you, Adolf Hitler's probably one who coined it. Those who forget history are destined to repeat it. I get a private message from Wendy. She says, what time is you and GGT's show? Wendy, you've been in our show like 5 times. It's 11:30 Eastern Standard Time. GGT, can you post a link for the beautiful princess?
I will do it.
Thank you. It says, and you know what? Just as a close to this segment of Dr. Jones's show, we'll close with from what I read all the way down, the ending is the Nazis leaped to their feet, clapping, stomping, and shouting, then broke into the Nazi anthem, the Harvest Whistle song or whatever I open the show with. GGT, you got a comment here? I seem to be in a loss for words. He's taking care of that link probably for you, Wendy. Another great thing we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Hitler's rise to power. Hitler, in a sense, was kind of a Ronald Reagan as far as his running. I don't think he was ever a governor, but he was a powerful legislator, and he tried repeatedly to be the chancellor. And he was always a socialist. He was even imprisoned. But Germany was a democracy, so they kept just voting him down. And he actually represented a party in 2 elections. The way it was there is they didn't have – I don't think they had parties. You didn't have labels like Democrat or Republican or Nazi or anything like that. He ran, and he got beat, but the person ahead of him did not attain 50% of the votes. Therefore, there was a runoff between the first-place person and Adolf Hitler, and Hitler again lost. But, I mean, it just goes to show how he was steadfast. And tonight's show, if Dr. Jones was doing a show tonight, I think I would have blown up. Because I just had to kind of throw this tease out there. It is so important for people to understand, and Mary is so right. I mean, history repeating itself because nobody learns from the past mistake. You know another thing, Mary, is that people that haven't learned it. A generation, the group of people you saw that were out there dancing a couple weeks ago on a Sunday night, they only know what they've been told. And they were, 10 years old when all this came down with Osama bin Laden. And they only know what a bad person he is. And without question that there may be some some other questions that need to be answered. And I don't hesitate to I know Osama bin Laden was a very bad guy, and we all know that he was basically funded as the leader of the Mujahideen in Afghanistan to fight the Soviet Union. And we have had a history of giving bad deals, and what happens is throughout history, Mary, you're like reading my mind, is that when all this comes down, you know, this is kind of a good thing, Jermaine. I know you got young kids. To find out exactly what age they start learning this or what age they don't start learning this, because in textbooks now there's a big fight over talking about the fall of the Berlin Wall. The president of the Soviet Union under collapse with Mikhail Gorbachev.
What's that?
Oh, nothing. I was just talking about Mikhail Gorbachev wrote in his book that the Pope and Ronald Reagan were responsible for largely responsible for the fall of the Berlin Wall, the collapse of the Soviet Union. There's one other fall of another, I think, I don't know if it was Czechoslovakia, but there was in some place where they stormed the building and they instantly hung the president and his wife, like within 20 minutes. They just got overwhelmed. They put a rope and they just hung him. But anyway, and in today's textbooks, there's a big fight. Many of them don't even mention Ronald Reagan or the Pope. John, welcome to the conservative hour on the C. Robert Jones Show. You are with Cool Mike and GGT.
Yeah, I hear you talking about Hitler and trying to make the comparison to what's going on now to Hitler. One thing with fascism is that fascism advocates for a totalitarian single party type situation where they try to get rid of all of the economic classes, and they have like a consolidated national economy. So what would happen is if Obama became a dictator, he would make the Democratic Party the only party, and he would set himself up where he would reform the Constitution and allow himself to be the supreme leader where, you know, like no one could oppose him. And he would set up a nationalized economy in the sense that the government would have a stake in the large corporations, but they would eliminate a lot of the differences between, say, the middle class and the working poor in terms of, like, the wage structure and so forth. So I think that we're not at fascism yet. I think what's happening is we're moving towards more of a social democracy in which we have socialists that are in the Democratic Party that have gotten a foothold and that are trying to nationalize a lot of our major industries and trying to bring nationalized health care or universal health care and trying to basically bring the right of education, the right of health care, and try to make them amendments to the Constitution so that we would see our government look like what you see in terms of like the European government, where each person who is a citizen who may be out of a job and is not able to work, they're protected by the government through different entitlements so that each person is a citizen who is a citizen has a right to an education, has a right to health care, and they do that by changing the taxation structure of the economy. So people who make large sums of money, they pay a higher rate in taxes than they would if they lived over here in America.
So, John, in what you're talking about, you kind of school me on something. What you're talking about, is there are companies privately owned? I mean, are there still going to be people who are making $300,000 a year, or all of a sudden do they make like I make $10 an hour?
No, it's like they have millionaires in Europe, people that are wealthy, and companies are privately owned. But at the same time, the government has a right to dictate in terms of the taxation of those corporations. They have a right to take more of the taxes, and their taxation rate is greater on the wealthy and on the corporations than they are here. And they have adopted entitlements that are greater for the average citizen, the European citizen, than they are here. Like, the Europeans have the right to an education, they have the right to health care, and it's written into their constitution. And the socialists are a dominant player in national politics, and they don't hide the fact that they are there. So the Socialist Party is on the ballot, is on the election ballot, and the people in these European countries know that the socialists are there. Whereas here in America, we have the Democratic Party, but we don't have a separate socialist party that's running as well. But what has probably happened is the Socialist Party has managed to get inside the Democratic Party to a certain extent, but the average American doesn't know about it. But over there, the taxation rate is much greater, and the private corporations have to pay more to the government than they would over if they were in America. And then with the health care, the doctor is an employee of the government. So the government is the one that's paying the doctor's salary. So if you are a citizen and you have a job and you pay taxes and you need an operation and you go to the hospital, because you are a citizen, you have the right to health care, all of your hospital bill is paid by the government. And then the government pays the hospital and pays the doctor based upon that. And that's the main difference between our system and their system.
Okay, so the workers themselves, do they have any type of organized labor? Or is the government their union?
The workers have labor unions in Europe. Yeah, they do have labor unions. And they have wages. I mean, they have to get a certain wage as well. And the reason why all the manufacturing is in Asia is because there are no labor unions in Asia. So when the manufacturing left America, it went directly to Asia, because in Asia, they have an educated workforce, but they don't have any labor unions, and they don't have any work, any protection for workers. Like, they don't have OSHA, and they don't have other, you know, things we have in this country to protect workers. Like, they don't have any of that. So that's the reason why all of the factories went over there, or they went to Central America. So.
Mm-hmm.
They have everything that we have over here. The main difference is they have a right to health care. They have a right to education. If they are a citizen who has worked and paid taxes and they want their children to go to school, they can say to the government, I demand that the government pay my child's tuition. And the government is obligated to do it. And also when it comes to healthcare, if they get sick and they have worked and they have paid their taxes, you know, over a certain period of time, and they say to the government, I cannot afford to pay my healthcare bill, the government is obligated to pay their healthcare bill because it's written into the Constitution. They have a right to healthcare.
What happens when they become, like, say, you know, 70 years old and they're old and can't work?
Well, then, in that case, the government has set up where they have a pension. It's like when the situation happened in Greece, because the people in Greece said that they wanted to get their pension at 55 because they wanted to be able to retire. And the, a lot of the companies in Greece and the banks came back and said, look, we don't, you know, we are almost insolvent. We can't pay out your pensions. And then, you know, the people rose up and wanted to riot. So
went crazy.
I mean, the whole situation was the credit rating on the country had dropped. And as a result, they could not pay out those pensions to people that were 55 years old or older, and they wanted to retire. So, you know, that was the problem in some of the European countries. They got into a situation where all of these entitlements that they had said that they had worked for while they were, you know, of working age, they were not able to get them at the age that they wanted to get them. And this caused the initial economic crisis that you saw on the news in Greece and these other countries over there.
Wow. So basically when, well, I guess I was going to ask you, but I guess you couldn't answer that. I was wondering after the fall of the Third Reich, I mean, I wonder what happened, because obviously their money wasn't worth much. They're almost really lucky. We also met the Soviet Union in Berlin, because had that not been the case, the Soviet Union probably would have just engulfed them, as what they did with when they split up Berlin.
Right. Well, I think with Germany is, like you said, Germany was a democracy, and the Nazi Party was a socialist party. It was called the National Socialist Party. And Hitler came in as a totalitarian leader, and he had initially run for election, but they burned the Reichstag because they wanted to be able to dissolve the government, and because they wanted to set up this single party system, so they wanted like a form of fascism, but they wanted socialism in it as well, because they wanted the government to be able to control all the private industries. And once the government was able to control all private industry, then they could set up a war industry, because Hitler wanted to be able to conquer the world. And he had set up Nazism as like a religion, and he based it on a lot of the Norse mythology that believed that the Aryan race was the superior race. And the German people had been decimated after World War I. And as a result of that defeat, the German people had very low self-esteem. And the economy was very bad at the time that Hitler came to power. And the Jews were in Germany, and they were mostly the bankers and the doctors and the lawyers. One thing about Jewish people have always been in, like, the different professions like medicine and law and banking. No matter where they went, they were always in the professions. So it always seemed to the local population that the Jews always had money, because they were always in the professions like merchants and bankers. So Hitler said that, you know, our country is going down because the Jews are, you know, they are taking all the money, they're ripping us off, and, you know, they're the ones causing the economy to go down. So he scapegoated the Jews, and he used them as the reason why Germany had failed. He said that the Germans were the Aryan people, and we deserve the right to make our nation great and to be able to conquer these other inferior nations. So he set up Nazism like a religion. And he used the mythology of the Vikings, the Norse like types of mythology. Like you see this Thor movie, that goes back to the mythology of the Vikings. And,
oh, okay.
The Vikings were the blonde-haired, blue-eyed people. So he set up the Aryan system and used Norse mythology and he set up this religion of Aryans, the blonde-haired, blue-eyed people were the superior race on the earth, and they deserved to conquer all these other races. And so that's when he set up the war industry inside Germany to go out and conquer all of Europe.
And, wow, he did a great job as far as conquering. Man, when he got into those countries, he looted them good. I mean, he took everything of value from those countries.
Oh yeah. He was stopped in Russia. The Russians were the ones that were able to stop his march across the globe. Otherwise, he would have tried to push the German Empire across the whole globe, because he had formed an alliance between him, Italy, and Japan, and they had divided up the world in the sense that he would give Japan the Orient. He would give Italy all of the Mediterranean region and parts of Africa. And he would take Germany, would get Europe and America. So he had divided up the world according to the Axis powers. So when America was the Allied powers, and Germany and Italy and Japan were the Axis powers. And that was what World War II was. So they had divided up the world according to, if they had won, they would have divided the world in terms of Japan would control China, all Southeast Asia, and India. And, like, Italy would control the Middle East and Africa and, like, basically, like, all the Mediterranean region. And then Germany would get all of Europe and like, all of the Americas.
Yep, well, they failed. You know that if you think about it, there were some great leaders, even in the losing countries, as far as military. I mean, Germany had great military commanders. Had Hitler listened to those people, they very well could have been fairly successful or more successful. They would not have won because obviously Berlin would have been the first to got the bomb. That would have taken care of that. But obviously, had he listened to, he had an awful lot of smart people obviously surrounding him as far as military commanders. They were rolling all over Europe. Hitler was. I mean, I believe with Austria, didn't Austria just surrender? They did. They agreed no war. They were not going to fight.
I think, Hitler was from Austria. Hitler was Austrian. He wasn't German. He was from Austria. But, yeah, I think that Austria, I don't know, geography, I don't think Austria is that far from Germany. So, you know, they were able to conquer Austria pretty quickly. And a lot of the Nazi officers came from Austria. Like, I think the man that was a governor of California, like, his family was members of the Nazi Party.
Oh, Schwarzenegger?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's really amazing. Tonight on our show, you can't miss it. Tonight on GGT and I show, so feel free to call in. A lot of lot of your knowledge that you've shared with me today, I'd like to share with the audience. John, I think in many ways, you think of Cool Mike, you think of one thing. Oh, he rants and raves on the Patriot Act. But, look at what the domino effect of all this is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost scary in a ways. It's almost identical to what is taking place. It took place in stages with Hitler, and it's almost like this is taking place, but it started with a tragedy. It started with basically a terrorist.
Right.
And as they always do, as the stories begin, as they normally do, with an up-and-coming politician, and he surrounds himself by powerful people who, in the end, the ways always justify the means. I think that's the right saying.
Right.
And I don't know, it's awful scary. It is a scary, scary thought.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, if people, if they look up social democracy, on the internet and what is a social democracy, and they look at what's happening in our nation today, they can see a direct parallel between how a social democracy formed and what is currently happening. And I think that that is what we're moving towards as we speak, and because Obama, it was very charismatic, and he represented change in the sense that the demographics of the country are changing, in the sense that the country is becoming more brown. You have more Hispanics. The Hispanic population has grown to like 50 million. As they're the most dominant minority now. And the Asian population is growing as well. Like, I'm starting to see Asian politicians now in along the East Coast. So the Asians have grown in numbers where they actually have a voting bloc now. So, you know, the country is changing in terms of these different minority groups are growing in numbers. And I think they wanted to allow a president to come to power who was not Caucasian and who did not have like an Anglo-Saxon type name. He had like an immigrant type name, and I think that this was like a representation of the changes that are occurring in our nation.
Yeah, well, let me ask you a question, John. With that being said, I mean, with the scary thought of what we're talking about, last night when I asked about the Patriot Act, you said, well, at this point, we can't rescind it due to the security of the country. Like, what did you mean by that? We are kind of in a hurry, so what did you actually mean? Because I look at you, John, you've traveled the globe extensively, and you're smart. I mean, stuff that comes out of your mouth, you know your business. And so in a lot of ways, I take a lot of the information you give me and I use on my other shows, et cetera. But why not rescind the Patriot Act if you see where it's taking us?
Well, it's like, you know, I think at this point, it's like a Pandora's box. Once 9/11 occurs and once the country realized that there were plots that were being hatched on a continuous basis after 9/11, they had to change the way that they were gathering intelligence. And what the Patriot Act allowed them to do is they allowed the FBI, the CIA, and the NSA to share information with one another. And that had never occurred before. I mean, each of these agencies was separate. Like, the FBI was basically involved in the prosecution of high-level cases where they were involved in trying to hunt down drug dealers and trying to stop, like, major drug dealers inside the country. And that was their major function as far as if they were trying to get federal cases, they were trying to go after drug dealers. So it was the war on drugs. So once the 9/11 happened, the FBI had to change, you know, kind of this modus operandi. It had to focus on the war on terror. And the only way they could do that, what they found is that a lot of these jihadists were operating on the internet, and they were operating using cell phones. And so they weren't telling people what their plans were. They were sending different types of messages over the internet, and they were like sending their plans that way. So what they said is we have to be able to monitor, we have to be able to increase the wiretapping capability of the FBI, and we have to be able to act on a tip as soon as we hear it. So therefore, they had to be able to expand the executive branch of government, which the president is in the executive branch, and the Supreme Court is in the judicial branch. So normally, if you have law enforcement, they're going to answer to the executive branch. But if law enforcement wants to get a warrant, they got to go to a judge to get a warrant, and that takes time. So therefore, the law enforcement said, well, we get our orders from the president. We don't have to go to court. if the president says we have terrorists here in the country and we want to do some wiretaps, then the FBI can say we have direct orders from the president to do the wiretaps, and as soon as we hear something, we can go and subpoena these people and take them to prison and detain them and say that they're an enemy combatant and they have no right to a lawyer or anything. And that's what the Patriot Act allowed them to do, because they felt that they could not fight the war on terror any other kind of way, because they didn't know if there were sleeper cells inside the country. See, when 9/11 happened, it was like a complete surprise in the sense that they realized these people had been living here. Like some of the people that were involved in 9/11, they had been living inside the country, and they had no kind of criminal record. So it was like, you have the enemy is living here, and we don't know who the enemy is. So we have to be able to monitor everything that's going on. So that's the reason why the Patriot Act came to be, because they wanted to be able to find out who the enemy was, if they were inside the country or not, because they didn't want terrorism to break out in America like it happens in Israel, where people blow up buses and, you know, you got suicide bombers and stuff like that. They didn't know if that was going to happen here or not.
Yeah. All righty. Well, John, I'm going to actually bounce. You're going to join us tonight for a GGT 183 show?
Yeah.
Great. We're going to do more in-depth and in detail on this. Like I said, Dr. Jones couldn't make the show tonight. I didn't have your number. I would have called you to see if you wanted to co-host. But if I had your number, I didn't want you tripping out if I were to call you, you know, and just say, hey, John, this is Cool Mike. I want you flipping out on, you know, thinking I'm stalking you.
I try to call into a Perry Steele show. I listen a lot, even if I don't call in. I listen to Blog Talk a lot at night. So,
yeah. All righty. Well, we're going to sign off, and I'll get your number tonight in our show, John, in the chat room. You can give me your number. So if we need a co-host, or you'd definitely be a good guy to have. All righty, John. Well, thank you very much for calling, and everybody, thank you in the chat room. We are going to take it from here. No greater way to close the show with a scary thought. A lot of what John told you and a lot of the things I read, this is nothing. GGT will attest to tonight, we're really going to give you the full story. It's almost unbelievable. It's almost as if this is totally made up, because it can't be happening again. Those who repeat history are destined to repeat it. And Mary wrote, what John says sounds familiar. Yes, it does. But if you've never learned the history, then how are you supposed to repeat it? Anyway, we're going to play the Nazi anthem. And it's only fitting to play this.
and you and I together, we will change this country and we'll change the world.
They were watching his power. They were watching the large crowds that were following him. And as the crowds grew larger and his oratory more impressive, I mean, when Hitler spoke, when this man stood before 50 and 100 and 200,000 people, he wooed a crowd like no man on earth had ever done. As I watched this parade of this emissary, this ambassador from hell himself called Barack Hussein Obama, got y'all in a trance and is trying to bring deception all over the world. And all of the world was watching as Hitler was amassing his power and talking about how he was going to change the world and talking about the things he was going to do about Germany and making her the greatest race and the greatest people that there ever was. And yet no one did a thing. They had likened him, Barack Hussein Obama, to John Fitzgerald Kennedy, our president of America. They likened Barack to him. And then they likened him to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., which I screamed and railed, don't do that. But now, you don't hear them say that anymore. You know why? Because he's so far out ahead of John Kennedy, it ain't, Kennedy never had the popularity and power that this man, I mean, Kennedy would pray for having half of the kind of popularity that Barack had. And Dr. King, I mean, Stokely Carmichael, Rap Brown, Huey Newton, Bobby Seale, and a whole lot of other people, black people were fighting against Dr. King. Barack got a kind of unity. King, Lord, if King could have had the unity that Barack had, my God. You know, can I take it one step further? Can I preach this? Not even Jesus is as popular as Barack is. I mean, Billy Graham must be having a fit. He must be wondering, I've been crusading for 50 years and I've never been able to draw the kind of crowds that Barack has. The Pope was here in April and he only got a few people, but Barack gets everybody. Well, let me repeat that. He gets all of y'all. There's one man standing. He's James David Manning, and I'm not going to bow down. But they watched this man build and amass this power of world domination, and the world that should have been stood by and did nothing. And yet he spoke. And when Hitler stood, the people would come. And you can see, if you go back and look at some of the old newsreels of Hitler's speeches, you'll see the people were standing there in awe. Hail Hitler, they would say. You could see the look on their faces as if they were in some sort of trance.
Hate to cut that short, everybody, but we only have 10 seconds left in the show. Thank you very, very much again for yesterday. Probably one of the five most listened to Blog Talk shows, according to Blog Talk Radio. Good night.